This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The start of the 2020 census is just under 6 months away. But don't expect the traditional questionnaire in the mail. Instead, for the first time, most households will receive an invitation to participate in the census online. The switch is billed by the Census Bureau as both a technological innovation and a cost-saving measure. But it could have major ramifications for communities where internet access is limited. There's concern about undercounting in rural areas, low-income communities, and perhaps most of all, in Native American communities living on reservation lands. Matt Rantanen is Director of Technology for the Southern California Tribal Chairmen's Association and a descendant of the Cree Nation of Canada. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Matt, undercounting of Native American communities is not a new problem. An audit of the 2010 census found that 1 in 7 Native Americans were not counted in that census. How much worse do you expect that problem to be if the census is primarily online, as it's planned to be in 2020?
Well, to quantify, it's going to be tough, but knowing the amount of Native Americans that have access to broadband and could fill out a census form is very lacking. It's going to be, I think we're going to lose 30% more of the population at minimum.
Wow. 30% undercounting of these communities. Is that directly correlating, you think, to 30% that do not have access to internet?
Well, so what we have is a percentage of tribes that have access to internet. And then you have the traditional, I don't want to be counted group, but you have those folks that are online and are willing to be counted. And then you have all of the people that don't have access to maybe even a vehicle to get to a local library to be able to be counted online. And the reduction of house-to-house surveys is really going to indicate, I mean, the final count's going to be low.
Give us a sense, what is that number of people who do not have internet access in their home, do not have a way to get to internet access? Do we have a sense of what that total number is?
So the total number is a little bit gray area. The FCC reports a number that is far overstated based on the marketing deployment of networks for the carriers.
So that number from the FCC, the most recent one, was, I think, 65% of residents on tribal lands do have some form of internet access, was the number that came from the FCC. And you're saying that you think that's a significant overrepresentation of actual internet access.
So depending on how you define internet access, if they define internet access as a data plan on a phone, then I would say that number is probably close to true. The problem is you can't fill out a census form on your phone accurately. You can't, you know, that's not internet connection in our world. We need access to broadband internet where we can actually function on a computer.
Matt Rantanen, the Census Bureau has said that the first round of invitations to participate in the census will be just that. 80% of households will receive an invitation to respond online or to call in their information. 20% will still get the traditional questionnaire in the mail, but then there will be subsequent waves of mailings, of invitations, and also, of course, people actually going out to non-responding households to try to get responses. Why do you think that plan and that kind of waves of subsequent action are not enough to get an accurate count of those living on tribal lands in the U.S.?
So historically, we've had a tough time being counted properly in the first place. And sovereign tribal nations obviously don't like a lot of people walking around on their sovereign nation without a chaperone or a permission. They'll work with the census on this front, but it looks like from the last meeting that we attended about the California census, they're making what they call a make whole approach, where they're actually giving a fee incentive for tribes to participate, and some tribes have stepped up and created, census count groups for their reservations, and some have not. So hopefully this is a step in the right direction. I feel, however, that the door-to-door method on the reservation has failed in the past, and that's why our count is so low as well. Tribes also aren't very interested in being counted because they don't understand why they're being counted. traditionally, when we were counted, we were eliminated.
And what would the benefits to these communities be of being counted? Why is it a problem for these communities to then be so significantly undercounted and underrepresented in the census?
So according to the Native People Count, the census data is the basis for over $1 billion that annually flows into Indian country in the label of housing, improvements to housing, construct roads, and provide employment and training programs. I think we're going to miss out on dollars if we don't count it, get counted there, both at the state level and at the federal level.
You've already hinted at this, Matt Rantanen, but there's the issue just of internet access. And then, of course, there is this pervasive and deep distrust of the government and, you know, ambivalence about even wanting to participate in the census. And I wonder if you see that being compounded by making the census an online activity, compounding that with issues of data privacy and distrust of how that information might be used in an online setting.
Yeah, so that's very apparent in the thought process of the tribes. It happened to us when all of the federal granting went online to grants.gov. Everybody was concerned about uploading information. There was a lot of financial information that was being sent over the internet, and whether or not that was secure, that definitely becomes a concern. I mean, the U.S. government sounds like it should be something that is very secure, but we all know how many aspects of the U.S. government have already been hacked.
There's also in the latest operational plan for the census a reference to using both government data and third-party sources of data to try to reduce the number of times that census officers might have to, census takers might actually have to visit a household to get a response. For that matter, there's a mention of using data, quote, from trusted sources to count and provide characteristics for people in households that have not responded. I wonder if this issue of using existing online data to try to get at where people are and get census responses from them has come up in the context of how communities on tribal lands are feeling about this online census proposal.
So that was not brought up in the meeting that was had on the Pala Reservation in California. And I'm curious to know what third-party information that is, what third-party entity has access to census level information.
Where does this, go from here? We're less than 6 months out from the start of this census. It seems unlikely that there will be major changes to the operational plan. So what sorts of plans or steps might be in place to try to make sure that the count is as accurate as possible?
Well, I think these regional or local meetings that are happening, at least in the state of California, will identify the gap that they're going to have in the reporting. And as that gets returned back to the director for California, hopefully there can be a focus on additional resources to be able to collect this data from folks, whether it be census meetings where people can come and interact with agents, whether it be like local libraries hosting census, fill out the form parties so that folks can actually be counted. And I know that at least in one situation, the Pala Band of Mission Indians has engaged the census and become a resource to the census. And they're working with their tribe and their tribal membership to have an accurate count. So the more that tribes do that on the ground level, I think the more accurate each of those tribes will be. But there are certainly situations that are not this forward thinking, and there are situations where they don't have the resources to do that.
That's Matt Rantanen. He is Director of Technology for the Southern California Tribal Chairmen's Association, working to expand internet access on tribal lands. He's also a descendant of the Cree Nation of Canada. Matt, thanks so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And that's our show. Until next week, I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.